You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Televised impeachment hearings require some adjustments at the networks. I'm David Brancaccio. The House of Representatives takes its impeachment investigation before the public later this week, with hearings in front of radio, TV, and streaming microphones and cameras. Hearings could last days, and major networks have to figure out what to do with the advertising that had been scheduled in those time slots. Here's Marketplace's Kimberly Adams.
There may be lots of viewers, but television networks won't necessarily cash in. Jason Beckett is with advertising research firm Squad LLC.
They get the commitment of the advertising many months in advance, but when something like this happens, they have much smaller inventory to react to these moments.
And some companies may not want their brand to show up at such a contentious event.
And if you are following the revelation of some sensational piece of news with a vacation to Cabo, that might be very jarring.
But that's exactly where some political organizations want to be. Kathleen Searles teaches political communication at Louisiana State University. She says for TV networks,
there'll be some constraints around when they can air ads, but when they do, they'll be able to charge at a higher class, and that's where they're going to make a ton of money.
Searles expects to see lots of ads criticizing the hearings between the commercial breaks. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Today is the biggest shopping day of the year, not so-called Black Friday after Thanksgiving. That's because today is known as Singles Day in China, a day for people who have not paired off to attend festivals, go to bars and clubs, and increasingly shop like crazy. My Marketplace colleague Licia Santarelli of the BBC has an update.
Singles Day was the brainchild of Alibaba founder Jack Ma. It was thought up as an anti-Valentine's Day, where instead of buying a gift for someone else, you have 24 hours to buy items for yourself. All heavily discounted, of course. Now, this year's event was kicked off by a live performance by Taylor Swift, and sales hit $1 billion after just 1 minute and 8 seconds. Before the clock struck 5 p.m. in Beijing today, more than $30 billion had already been spent online. That figure is equivalent to over 80% of Amazon's online store sales last quarter. As a result, Singles Day and many of its copycat events are now viewed as an important barometer of Chinese consumer sentiment. Now, Alibaba has been trying to diversify its business away from its home market and into areas like digital payments, but is still heavily reliant on e-commerce. Around 80% of its revenue comes from this division. Alibaba has another reason it needs to sustain its record results from Singles Day. It plans to hold a dual listing in Hong Kong this month and raise a reported $15 billion. I'm the BBC's Licia Santarelli for Marketplace.
Singles Day. Look at the calendar. 1111. All those little single ones. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 1.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here are all down 0.4%. We're also covering New York regulators looking into complaints that Apple's new credit card with the investment bank Goldman Sachs may have given out bigger credit lines to husbands, even if a wife's credit score was higher. Marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. 30 years ago today, 1 million East Germans streamed into West Berlin through checkpoints that had opened 2 days earlier. It was November 11th, 1989, when the first chunks of the Berlin Wall began to be bashed and chiseled out. We've been getting stories from Marketplace listeners who were there.
My name is Khadidia Cooper. I grew up in Greifswald in East Germany, and I currently live in Monterey, California. I was 10 years old when the wall came down. You know, we heard about it afterwards, but it didn't really occur to us as children that it would really have any kind of implications. And then, you know, fast forward a couple months and my dad was out of work. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, my mom was out of work. And at that point, I think we all started to realize that life was just going to be different. They had both worked as engineers for the same company that was one of the two big employers in my hometown. And that company was bought by Siemens, who shut down the entire factory, the entire business. And it put, you know, half of an entire town out of work from one day to the next. My dad was out of a job for many, many years. My sister actually didn't have a job that lasted for more than a few months until she took all her children and moved to West Germany, because the area where I'm from just never recovered from that. One of the justifications for shutting down pretty much any company that existed in East Germany was that our products were just considered so much inferior and so much more behind the rest of the world that it just wasn't worth making them anymore. And over the last 10 years or so, every time I go back to Germany, I see these products coming back. They are sold as luxury products, and they're really popular in West Germany. There is definitely still a very big divide between East and West. And it's been 30 years. After all this time, I think it would have been better to just leave things be. I mean, open up the borders, give people freedom, yes. But, you know, forcing a country to reunite, you know, there were a lot of unintended consequences.
Khadidia Cooper of California, Marketplace listener, thank you for that. Online, you can check out our coverage connected to the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, including Lessons About Someday, Unifying What Is, Region by Region, Statistics Show, An Economically Divided America, Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.